Welcome to Shift with CJ. I'm your host CJ, and together we will explore the areas of health, human performance, biohacking, psychology, and much more that will inspire you to become the best version of yourself.
The health and wellness and life choices that we have made have gone in a very unhealthy direction.
Director of Education for Kokora, naturopathic practitioner, and host of the Honest Health Podcast,
Dr. Jeffrey Berg.
How important is the soil is, how it impacts our health, our mental health. Can you tell us a little bit about like what is regenerative agriculture in your head and where do you see this going?
It actually allows you to be able to taste the difference, feel the difference, make a difference. Your crops can increase in the quantity of what is grown, sometimes 2 and 3 times as much in the crop grown in a regenerative soil.
Humans will go through much more pain and suffering if they can avoid a loved one getting those.
Are we really doing all we can do to take care of ourselves? And I think the answer has been no. The awareness today is not just about food quality. It's also about dealing with getting ourselves on a path toward better mental health. We may surprise ourselves and actually make maybe the world and the planet a little bit better along the way.
Hello and welcome everyone back to the Shift with CJ podcast. Today, I have someone really, really special because this person spent the last 40 years learning, educating, teaching, and helping people get better in the natural way. He has taught thousands of people. He ran a radio show for 42 years. He has recorded 20,000 shows. Oh my God, it's amazing. So right now I have him on because he's also building something really great, which he's going to talk about, which is Kokora Life. They make really cool natural remedies and solutions, which are not just good for you, but most importantly, are good for the planets too. So we're going to be talking about a lot of things today, especially things that you might have not heard of, things like soil and how our health really starts from the planet's health. What happens when we mess around with the planet? What happens if we mess around with ourselves? And we'll also ask him if plants can talk to each other. So everyone, welcome Jeffrey Buke to the show. Jeffrey, welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm so happy to be here today. And it looks like it's a busy day in back of you today outside. I can see outside the window there. So it's a hustle and bustle in Dubai.
It's one of the most hustling and bustling cities. And like right now where we are, it's just like the metro is there and it's Sheikh Zayed Road, which is like the main district. It's always busy. So how would you like me to call you? Jeffrey, Dr. Brooke.
You can call me Dr. Burke. You can call me Jeffrey or okay. Jeff. It's really up to you. I'll answer to whatever we go.
Okay, so I'll call you Jeff because it makes my life easy.
Perfect.
Okay, so Jeff, you've been doing this for over 40 years. You've seen so many things come and go. And I guess now modern science is also catching up to some of the most old or ancient practices, and now they're trying to validate all of this, right? How has the journey been? How was it when you started? And of course, you've been through so many different trends, so many different solutions. Give it a snapshot of like how it was when you started and how it is right now.
I'd love to. It's quite interesting. When I first started my journey, I was barely 20 years old, and it was at a time when, although I was raised in a way that you think about natural alternatives for health and well-being, my grandmother started us very young. It was also a time in the world where most people kind of thought about health food stores and vitamins and things like that as really more of a kind of a interesting thing. We weren't well accepted. We didn't have a relationship with the medical community. And the people that were doing it, it was kind of more of a fad for them. And, you know, little by little, more and more information came about. We didn't have the science that we do today. We didn't have the availability of amazing super nutrients like we do today. We didn't have a lot of research that was documented. But little by little, we started to see a progression toward that. Now, at the same time, going on, the health and wellness and life choices that we have made, let's say over the last 4 decades, have gone in a very unhealthy direction. With progression of technology, with food quality diminishing, with our taste buds being tantalized by companies that are making food that is very good tasting but little nutritional value, and how we have accepted unhealthy eating as kind of a way of life and inverted our food pyramid to something that is very, very unhealthy. We've kind of arrived at a time when we need to make some choices. At this point in time, if we don't start to embrace the alternatives that we have in front of us and maybe revert our mind a little bit back to a time when we actually utilize good quality food for health and well-being, then are we really doing all we can do to take care of ourselves? And I think the answer has been no. So the awareness today is not just about food quality. It's also about dealing with getting ourselves on a path toward better mental health, better physical health, thinking about down the road rather than just the moment. What can we do that's going to be a wise choice to keep us going in a healthier direction? And thinking about our food. Do we do everything for our planet, for the soil, for the things that we should be doing, to be able to maybe there's a quote, and the quote says, "We borrow our planet from our children." And I think that that's really important because what we do today is directly related to what's happening a year from now, 10 years from now, and 20 years from now. And are we doing everything we should be doing? So there's a lot to think about. But, I think if we work together and we start thinking about the things that we could be doing to make everything good today, we may surprise ourselves and actually make maybe the world and the planet a little bit better along the way.
Thank you for that. That's very interesting. And that quote that you said, it really touched my heart. Like it really made me think because, sometimes when we take certain actions and if it's for us, we will ignore some things. But when it comes to our kids and our loved ones, there are also studies that show humans will go through much more pain and suffering if they can avoid a loved one getting those. So like they put two people in the room and they say, "Hey, here's an electric shock. If you take this one, your loved one in the other room doesn't have to." And then we tend on taking even more. So it's really nice for anyone who's listening. Think about your choices. Now, you've been advocating for regenerative agriculture. Right before we started, I said like this region needs to know a little bit more about regenerative agriculture, especially about how important the soil is, how it impacts our health, our mental health, our everything. Like it's direct proportion to like what's really going on in the world, especially right now. So please, can you tell us a little bit about like what is regenerative agriculture in your head and where do you see this going?
Well, about 4 decades ago, because I have been in the field for a long time, we were exposed to something called organic. And organic was something where you were able to get crops, fruits and vegetables that were grown without the use of pesticides and chemicals. They were grown with natural means. They turned the soil, they rotated the crops, and you were able to get very clean fruits and vegetables and crops grown in an organic field. Now, at the time, it was wonderful to be able to, if you could afford it, because it was more expensive. Not everyone could afford organic. But if you were able to afford it, you had peace of mind that the foods that you were eating were not only a great quality value of not having pesticides or chemicals, but their nutritional value was much better than what was traditionally grown. Now, 40 years later, is organic still a good choice? I think that the procedures for growing organic is very good. I think that it's still wonderful to be able to do it without chemicals and pesticides. But the problem is, especially in America and some other places around the world, these organic fields, they've gone down in their quality, meaning they haven't been rejuvenated, they haven't been recycled, they haven't been crop ring rotated, they have not been utilized to their full potential, they've been a little ignored. So we're still getting fruits and vegetables with no chemicals, but the nutritional value has gone down dramatically. So here we come with regenerative. Regenerative looks at growing crops a little differently. It's not just about the crop, because down in Costa Rica, where we grow our herbs, we are still following the means and the protocol for organic, meaning no chemicals and no pesticide. But we're thinking about the soil. We're thinking about the soil today, tomorrow, next week, next year, next decade. And we're doing the things that actually add to the quality of the crop by protecting the soil. Now, with regenerative, you don't turn the soil. You actually leave it covered and you plant your plants. Most of it is planted by hand. We use something called a yeoman's plow, which is quite effective. It actually has these long shanks that pulverize the soil to open up the drainage to break up maybe congested areas of the soil. And what ends up happening is the roots are able to then grow deeper and longer and richer. Then you have your crops and then you plant cover crops. So there's always like a green blanket on the soil, which actually protects the soil. It also holds in moisture. It also draws carbon drawdown from the environment. You know, they talk all the time about us having so much carbon in the air. You know, but we don't realize that the environment could be stabilized. We could make a dramatic difference with global warming by doing regenerative agriculture around the world, because we could be drawing a lot of carbon back down into the soil. So when the soil is rich and the soil has more carbon, you create a better microbiome of the soil. The plants, the crops, and everything that you're growing become larger and healthier and more vivacious, more just full of nutrients, giving us better success and better vitality. You know, there's a quote that they say that we have about 60 years left of topsoil on our planet, because most of it we've been turning, it's blowing away, it's blowing into the ocean. They say that our bird populations are down about 40%. Our insect populations are down about 57%. And most of this stuff is all due to chemicals and chemicals used for agriculture. So we have to think about it. And it really does make sense. Even though you follow organic protocols, that's wonderful. But we have to think about the soil. Are we doing everything we can for our soil? And it's quite amazing to be able to see the difference in the size of the crops and the end result of what is grown in a regenerative situation. It actually allows you to be able to taste the difference, feel the difference, make a difference. And it also, people don't realize, your crops can increase in the quantity of what is grown, sometimes two and three times as much in the crop grown in a regenerative soil.
That's really interesting, because most of the people, like, yeah, they will look at the organic label and they'll support organic because they know it's good for them. But very few people will think about like the soil. So I love what you're trying, the message that you're trying to bring across, because we also know that any kind of fruits or vegetables, which are like any kind of produce that comes from a place which is where the soil is depleted, it loses almost 60% of all of its micronutrients. And, you know, if you have poor soil, eventually we always think that the planet and us are different, but like we actually came from the planet and we're going to go back to the planet. So like you have poor soil, then it gets you like poor choices of foods that will then wreck your gut diversity, because in poor soil, you cannot have a diverse range of things. And that's the crazy part, because now we see so much of mental health things coming up. And why is that? Because one of the most important things, like serotonin, over 90% of serotonin is actually produced in your gut. And if your gut doesn't have the right amount of micronutrients, then good luck.
Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely.
And so tell me one thing. Since like your radio days, you've been talking about health. What has been those one or two health myths that you've been trying to debunk for the longest period of time? Because every once in a while, there are all these kind of like myths going on, and that, you know, people like, for example, oh, it's natural, so it means it should be safe. Mm-hmm. Could be one. What have you come across?
Well, that's a really good one, because there are things that are natural that are also not fantastic for us. I mean, poison ivy and poison sumac in nature are wonderful, but you don't want to be rolling around in it because you'll be paying the price for about 3 weeks while the rash goes away. You know, I think we have to be aware of our surroundings. I think we have to respect Mother Nature. I think that that's really important. I think we need to realize that we need to always be asking questions, because things that we knew 10, maybe 15 years ago may be obsolete and not applicable today. I think people need to remember that just because it's on the store shelf in the grocery store does not mean that it's healthy for you. I still tell people that the way you shop your grocery store is really how healthy you will be and are going to be down the road. If you shop the perimeter of your grocery store, meaning vegetables and fruits, protein, dairy, and your healthier carbohydrates, you'll be better. If you shop the middle of the store, that's where all the chemical laden foods are. Mm-hmm. That's where all the quick fix foods are. And just because they're at the end of the aisle, they know how to strategically, put the store together where people are going to grab the easiest things. I think we also need to remember that taking personal time, taking time to reflect and recharge and rejuvenate and rebuild and relubricate and rehydrate our bodies is very, very important. And we have to have a priority for ourselves, because thinking that you can do it on the weekend, or you'll start getting more sleep next week, or you're going to get healthy, and you wait till New Year's Eve to make a New Year's Eve resolution that lasts about 6 days, you know, and then you're back on your old way of living and eating. You can't do that. You have to do, I would rather have somebody do a little bit of something good every day than want to do 50 things differently that only last for like a day. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that it's really important for us to be able to focus on our health and well-being. We also have to remember that, like everything in the world, not everything is created equal. You know, just because there are supplements in health food stores and on shelves, it doesn't mean that they're as good of a quality as what may be next door. You know, so you need to ask questions. I know with the dawn of the internet, a lot of people shop online and they listen to their friends. What are you doing? What are you taking? And they may try to do it the same way and maybe get not good results because they didn't really ask the questions. Does it relate to me? And I think that that's a big thing that I think a lot of people have to learn. You need to ask questions, because you and your friends and your family may end up across the finish line of good health together, but you all individually may need to follow a different path or have a different choice or do a different protocol. And I think that that's the best thing that I think I've learned over the years, is we have to learn and we have to consistently ask questions, because if we don't, we're going to end up missing a great chance at having a much healthier life.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting, because we all have such a different biochemical individuality, the way our genes and our epigenetics are switching on and off. It's all, it is complex, yes. But if you really like close your eyes and ask yourself like, hey, but I'm eating this food, is it really doing me any good? How do I feel tomorrow? How do I feel day after tomorrow? Does it give me a brain fog? Does my joints hurt? There is an inner knowing that will tell you. And then if you get a intuition or a hunch, talk to someone about it, talk to an expert, go check out the labels of the company, see what they're using, because like you said, not everything is created equally. And also, I completely agree with what you said, where we have a lot of people who are like, you know, they're the weekend warriors and they want to do everything on the weekend, but we all know from research that doesn't work. And it reminds me of a Chinese proverb, which says something along the lines of like, the best time to plant a tree was yesterday, and the second best time is today. So the more we keep delaying it, it doesn't work. Now, I've had this question for, I mean, a lot of people have asked me this question, and you know, there are always two sides of the argument. Do you think plants have the ability to talk to each other?
I do.
Okay.
I absolutely do. And the reason I say that is because I think that the way that, I mean, it may come off as philosophical or maybe a little earthy, a little tree hugging, if you will.
That's good. We love that.
But, you know, I think to myself sometimes that we know that animals talk to themselves. We know that insects and birds communicate with each other, and the environment that they live in, I feel that if you're in the middle of a forest and you're there on a day when there is nobody else around, the sounds of the forest are very loud. If you turn yourself off and you listen to what's going on, whether it's the wind or the branches or the grasses or the plants and how they communicate above the earth, but also the plant microbiome that communicates underneath the earth, and the health of the soil, I think that there's a communication everywhere. And, some of my colleagues, are finally coming a little bit more on board with understanding of this plant-based, planet communication with itself. I think that that definitely is a thing. And I think that we need to make everything as healthy as possible because we want good communication in our world and what we do and take from our planet, putting back to let them have the health that they deserve as well, or that the planet deserves. I do. I agree.
Yeah, I completely agree as well. My side of the argument is always like, hey, listen, plants have been here longer than humans have. They don't have any teeth, they don't have any claws, they cannot hit you back, but they're excellent communicators. So like we also see that some plants have this ability to create these volatile organic compounds, or call them anti-nutrients, which are these self-defense mechanisms of the plant. And those happen most of the times when there is a predator around, and that makes the plant a bit toxic, a bit bitter. So the predator just like doesn't come back again because they get like it's a plants have evolved that way. They are living, they're conscious. So I also always like to tell people this, and I also like to tell people this, that we also know with science now that when we keep a plant in harsh conditions, or when we stress out plants in a certain way, their inner things like polyphenols, which are really good for health and longevity, flavonoids, which are very good, those can increase. And there, I read a book a couple of years ago, and in that it said that when you're eating some produce, just make sure you kind of like cut it, chop it, wait for some time, because that will then kind of bring out these defense mechanisms of the plant, make it when it thinks it's like attacked. Even like wild blueberries are better than the ones that you grow in farms. So there is definitely some connection going on there,
No,
right?
I couldn't have said it any better. And I think that, they have that innate ability that during times of stress, their resilience comes out and they have their defense mechanisms. They know that a certain time of the year there's going to be plants that are threatened because of environment, like birds migrating that are going to be there feeding on them. And if they make themselves more bitter, or they put their toxins through their plants and their leaves and their fruit, and the animals or the predators of whatever find them bitter or annoying or terribly tasting or make them itch or whatever, they're going to leave. And then the plants become stronger because they're stressed. They say that us as well. When we become more stressed, we have to become more resilient. It's been harder because I think we have so many stresses today that it's hard to be as resilient. But if we allow ourselves to be able to bounce back and become stronger as we go past it, the next time around we're stronger for that trauma that we went through. And I think it applies to plants and fruits and vegetables and the things that, like you said, to your point, were here a long time before we were, and they'll be here a long time after we're gone.
Yeah. Actually, if there are no more humans, they will thrive.
Oh, very much so. Very, very,
they don't need us, but we need them. You
very
know,
true.
this topic of stress got me thinking about something else. So you said that there is so much of stress around, like there's no more a lion or a tiger that we're running from, but like every boss, every email now seems like, emails are shooting bullets. Like everyone's had that reaction. We know that anxiety, fearfulness, all of these things have increased in the past few years. One of the things that also happens when you have stress, of course, you can be resilient, but it also changes the way our body absorbs certain nutrients. So you could, like, there could be two scenarios where a person is having something really healthy, but they're stressed. And because of that stress, cortisol increases, it changes the concentration of the stomach acid that will allow for like less minerals and vitamins to be absorbed. And then there is a situation where you are already eating something which is below baseline of like nutrients, and then you're stressed again. And again, like this cycle increases, and like stress is a given. We cannot, I mean, we can always help ourselves and modulate and have herbal remedies, but we also need to make sure, because of our stressful environments, we go ahead and make those better choices when it comes to nutrients. Because like, just because of the way life is right now, you will be not absorbing things. Am I going in the right direction?
Absolutely the right direction. You know, there was a time when I was first starting out when you would never hear about a younger or even middle-aged individual, it was rare, that had trouble with their gut or digestive problems, who were dealing with daily gas and bloating and indigestion and poor absorbability as part of their daily routine. So here we are today. We've got kids and young 20, 30, and 40-year-olds that are using antacids and proton pump inhibitors to shut their acids down. And rather than addressing the issue the correct way, which means creating a better environment in your gut to deal with the stresses of every day, so that you're able to get the most out of everything you're consuming, not only just your food, but your supplements as well. If your body and your gut are not in line and your gut microbiome is not in a good place, and you don't have the proper amount of digestive enzymes to be able to break things down from one stage to another stage and get it to the point when the nutrients are then absorbable to the body and to the cells, and you don't have the probiotics built up in your system to give you a healthy microbiome and a good gut health, and we know now that healthy microbiome feeds the brain, feeds the cells, feeds the immune system. If you don't have this in place, you're already in a deficit. And just like you said, if you add in on top of it unhealthy food that's denatured, it doesn't have quality, that really has, it's more like food stuff rather than real foods, and you're not getting back to the basics. And then on top of that, a gut that is not being able to perform correctly and be there in place, you're already being under a huge amount of self-induced stress because you're not doing anything about it. And then you add life stress on top of it. You know, today when our phones ring, you know, we either are happy or we're not happy. Emails, like you mentioned, I mean, they trigger, you know, oh my God, I just finished a project and I've got 10 emails. I wonder what I did wrong. Did I do something wrong? You question yourself, and we don't allow ourselves to shut down. There was a time over the last couple of years that I finally got a little smarter. I would shut down in my studio, finish all my work, maybe 10 or 11 at night, had recordings done, shut everything down. And then I would go to bed and I'd get comfortable and I'd pick up my phone and I'd start all over again. And I finally thought to myself, this is ridiculous. You know, so I have to leave my phone outside of my bedroom for my health and well-being, because I don't need to hear pings and dings and stuff all night long, wake up just to pick up my phone to see that it's something ridiculous. And I need to decompress. I need to disconnect, because if you don't have that, you know, you're creating more self-induced stress that you can control on top of the stresses that we can't control.
And that, I think that's like a great piece of advice as well. If you guys are people who are listening, make sure you don't self-induce the stress. Keep that phone outside, maybe shut down work early, spend some time with yourself, spend some time with your friends, spend some time with your family, and like get your, like, let's give your mind a way to reset. Because work, no matter how great you are and efficient you are at working, there will never be a point that you'll be done. There'll always be something more to do. So it's like a vicious cycle unless you intervene and say, hey, this is it for today. So you have rules around it. And then, you know, when we create boundaries and we create rules, like I had a rule for some time. I'm not following it so much now, but I eventually go on to it. I have this digital sunset rule. So every time the sun sets, all of my digital devices, I just keep them away. And I would not like to get more new information in at least 90 minutes before bed, because if that information is exciting, or if that information triggers an element of the past or excitement about the future, then it's going to borrow energy from my brain while I'm sleeping. And when you want to sleep, you just want to be, you know, chill and relax. Now, you know, we spoke about stress, we spoke about resilience. At Kokora, you guys have like Really interesting blend, especially the mushroom blends. Now, medicinal mushrooms have been gaining popularity recently. I mean, the Chinese and some of the Indians have been using it for thousands of years. But now, let's say we're rediscovering what people already knew. What's your take on mushrooms? What's your favorite mushrooms? Tell people, like, educate us about mushrooms.
Well, and I love this question because, I've been trying to educate on mushrooms for about 20, 25 years now, and it has been a very, very slow process. All the herbs and all the nutrients and all the vitamins that I've educated on, hundreds and thousands of shows, always people adapt to those very easily. But mushrooms have been a little bit of a harder kind of educational process. But I would say over the last 4 or 5 years, they've really gained speed and they've really gained momentum. And people are starting to look at these functional mushrooms in a different way. We see that the cultures that have been using them for a long time, they don't just embrace them once in a while. They're part of their culture. And many of them are actually eaten as part of the diet. Some of them are not meant to be eaten, but the rest of them, are quite delicious if they're, kind of brought into the diet. But, the mushrooms like reishi mushrooms and maitake and cordyceps and chaga and, some of these amazing mushrooms, lion's mane is gaining popularity because of the fact that people are using it for cerebral brain health. But a little more studying will tell you that it's also great for gut health and gastrointestinal health. And you've got, after the pandemic, I think it picked up speed with things like reishi and maitake for helping to keep our immune systems a little bit stronger. Cordyceps has been gaining amazing, kind of a I guess speed and visibility because people are using it for stress and for energy and for athletic kind of visibility. People want to exercise longer and more successfully. So I think what's amazing is at Kokoro, we have mushroom formulas that are coming out, which are great, but we also incorporate mushrooms in with our herbs. So some of these amazing, like we have five powders that are Ayurvedic powders, and each of them have mushrooms as well as herbs. And people will ask, they'll say, well, why would you incorporate herbs with mushrooms? And I said, because each of them brings something different to the dinner party, if you will. You've got herbs that can do what they can do, you've got mushrooms that bring what they bring. And sometimes herbs bring the extra things that mushrooms don't bring to the table. So people are starting to see that mushrooms and some of these beautiful herbs that we're growing down in Costa Rica that are so incredibly potent. We're doing so many studies that are showing the potency levels are off the charts. People are going to be able to take a lot less and get even better results. And you combine that with really great functional certified organic mushrooms, people are going to notice the difference. And I think people are looking for something. People want to be convinced. People want to feel something. They want to see something. With the dawn of the internet, which is a double-edged sword, because you have to really research your research today because there's so many things that are said on the internet. Sometimes I end up shaking my head. I'm like, where did you hear that? And they'll say on the internet, and I'm like, oh. So then you end up researching it and telling them to research their research, which is really important. But I think that people want to see something. They want to feel something. People are in kind of a pharmaceutical drug mode where if you take an antibiotic and you take it for a period of 5 to 7 days and you're feeling really good really quickly, they want to see the same thing from things like oil of oregano or from elderberry, or they want to see the same thing from your vitamin C. And although these may give you beneficial results, they're not just about dealing with the situation at hand alone. They're also about dealing with bringing up the health of the body so that it is able on its own to be able to do many of the things that people may require a pharmaceutical drug to do. And in America, we have a lot of people that get on medication. And I had this conversation yesterday with a really good friend of mine, how people think of pharmaceutical drugs as the only way to fix a problem. But in many cases, a pharmaceutical drug is not there to fix the problem. It's there to maybe alleviate the symptoms or bring you into kind of more of a homeostasis basic line or a flat line of something that allows you to be able to function because you're not really addressing the problem, you're addressing the end result of the problem, where health and nutrition and food and meditation and Pilates and exercise and, you know, a better state of mind really works more on the vessel, on the body, getting it more resilient and bringing it back to a time when it was strong enough to do what it used to be able to do that we don't do very well today. So I think that's the way I think of it.
I think we're living in this era of instant gratification and quick fixes. I mean, we talk about biohacking, but like people expect everything to be hacked in a day. And most people don't have the patience to wait for a long time because our dopamine circuits are always firing. But yeah, in nature, like my grandma used to say this, she used to say like, everything good in life will take some time. And like the person who actually ends up winning is the person who has the most amount of patience. Because you can, of course, like you can use a pharmaceutical, you can push your way through it. But again, you might feel good in the moment, but you're not addressing root cause. And that root cause, you might be able to look at one symptom or one end result, but the biological pathways in our body is so complex that once you fix one thing in the moment, it might spur up 10 more things which you might not be able to fix in the future. And you know, it's always better to pay the bill now and make sure everything is good than to take credit for the credit and like keep the check going for the future. Now,
true,
you know, when it comes to mushrooms, like you said, the dawn of the internet, something gets trendy, you have so many companies that are popping up now. There are mushroom coffees, there are mushroom pills, there are mushroom tonics, different things. And just to complement that, even the herb industry is a similar way. How does, or how would, if you were a consumer knowing everything that you know, how would you make a choice between this crazy sea of companies trying to sell you these different products, which all of them say is the best?
That's a very good question. I think we need to become more focused on the labels and the supplement facts labels on the products that we're using. Many companies will use something called proprietary blend. Now, I know that's perfectly fine, but a proprietary blend will show you a list of ingredients, a total amount of milligrams or micrograms or grams that are in it, but it doesn't break down and tell you the individuality of each nutrient that is in there. So you may see lion's mane on there, but it may only have a milligram. You know, so what I try to tell people to do is if you can focus on utilizing products that come from companies that spell out each individual nutrient and the actual dosages that you're getting, that is going to make it, you know, night and day for the products that you choose. And it's the same thing with a lot of the herbal products. You know, Rick Scalzo, who founded Kokora, is the man that actually founded Gaia Herbs 35 years ago, which is one of the biggest herbal companies mm-hmm. that we've ever seen in this country. You know, when he left there, he actually founded the Rick Scalzo Herbal Botanical Institute in Tempe, Arizona, that's at the Sonoran Medical College, where all the medical students study with his institute there. But he also bought this beautiful plot of land in Costa Rica, and it was certified organic, and then it became certified regenerative, and it was actually just granted a gold soil standard that's never been done in Costa Rica for the quality of the soil. So that being said, he wants to make sure that people see the actual ingredients that are in the product. So those supplement labels spell every single thing out. And when you're bringing in a certified organic mushroom, which I think is another thing to look for when you're looking at mushrooms, make sure that they're certified organic, so you know you're getting the best of the best under the best healthy standards as possible. That will narrow down your choices very, very quickly and allow you to be able to maybe more successfully get the results that you're trying to achieve, rather than putting a lot of hope into something where one of those ingredients in the proprietary blend, the ingredient you really, really want, is maybe on the low end of the totem pole because it's got the least amount of benefit. So reading labels, I think, is one of the best ways to distinguish a line of products. Now, they can all be wonderful, but we want something that's going to make a difference because we are impatient. And, you know, Rick does something because of the impatience in the world called front loading, which means he puts a lot of potency in the product because he knows, like many of us do, that if people don't see something, feel something, or make a change in a shorter period of time, they're going to give up very quickly. So if you can supply people with products that see a difference, make a difference, let them feel a difference, they're going to be like, I want to stay with this. I already feel something good. Otherwise, oh, none of this stuff works. And then you lose that person from the industry completely rather than them benefiting and wanting to stay with something that truly is making a difference in their health. And reading labels, that's the place to start.
One of the things that we cannot read on labels, in my experience, wherever I've been like messing around with herbal medicines and mushrooms, like I was, if people are watching this on video, I was having my coffee with lion's mane, with chaga, with, you know, shilajit, a lot of things. So I mess around with a lot of these things. But my concern is, especially when it comes to herbal medicine, a lot of them can be filled with heavy metal toxicity. And it can, depending on where it's grown or how it's handled, these herbs can sometimes be worse for you. I mean, on the, like, for example, let's say ashwagandha or something else, which when you look at, when you go to the internet and you read about it, it all looks good. Maybe it's clean, clean and certified. Well, how do we look at this toxicity element, which is present in most of these herbs, or mostly herbs?
I think that there are things in the soils and things in the air and things that are available to us that we're privy to that in very, very high dosages could be detrimental to our health. I think that we have to realize and we have to request and we have to demand healthier growing conditions, because I think that that's really important. I mean, almost everything that you buy in stores today are loaded with chemicals and preservatives and synthetics, and yet we continue to do it. Oh my God. And things that we do it every single day, and we just give in because we crave all these unhealthy foods, and the people making them, they're not changing. You know, they've got the number 5 red dyes. They've got all these chemicals in there, where if you're really concerned, because you're going to get a little bit of bad in everything you do. But I think one of the things that we have to do is we have to request cleaner products and cleaner labels. We have to request things that we're consuming that they're grown, you know, like organic cattle grown in an organic field using organic feed. That already makes a difference. If we're utilizing herbal products, try to make sure that you utilize them if they're grown regeneratively and or certified organic. That already gives you a cleaner palate to work with, because not everybody does it, you know, and so many things are grown all over the world in many different places where the standards that they use are not really, really good, but they're able to grow it inexpensively and then sell it to companies that buy it inexpensively and are able to make their products and not be able to stand behind them because they're not stressing quality. They may be stressing price. And then so you may think, to your point, well, I've read that this is really good for me. Are all ashwagandhas created equal? No. I mean, the ashwagandha we're growing in Costa Rica is going to knock the socks off almost every ashwagandha that's out there, because the withanolides are so strong and people are going to feel the difference and they're going to make a difference. Do you get that with all of them? No. But it's the same with a multiple vitamin and a probiotic, and it's the same with everything. I mean, technology is helping us. I mean, if you would have asked me 20 years ago, if I would have ever taken a probiotic that sat on a store shelf, I would have laughed. I would say, no, it's got to be in the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. And you got to run home real fast and put it in your refrigerator. And when I used to travel, I would pack it last and I would unpack it first and I would put it in ice in a hotel room, whatever it took. Today, we have shelf-stable probiotics and their technology is amazing. I gave into it because it's successful. So things do change. But what doesn't change is that our taste buds are many times ruled by, you know, the things that are the most unhealthy, the things that we love the taste of, the things that we deal with in our comfort zones, our unhealthy foods, and we gravitate toward them because they make us feel better. You know, unhealthy things feel good for some weird reason, and we gravitate toward them. But one of the best things we could do is demand the best food possible, because it's there, but you have to demand it of yourself as well to choose wisely. And when you're in your health food stores and you're asking questions, what is the cleanest ashwagandha you have? Which is the one grown in an organic field? Do you have regenerative ashwagandha? We have to ask questions. I mean, you are putting this into your body. You know, we're more concerned about the newest phone that's out there. I mean, we'll get in a chat group and we'll go in stores and we'll investigate for a month before we buy a phone, but we don't think twice about what we chew and consume and swallow. So it's our priorities have to change. And I think that's a very personal thing with you and yourself to be better to yourself. I hope that helps.
Yeah, that does. It gives people a different perspective. So again, one of the most important things is, people who are listening to this, make sure you read the labels. You don't have to ask a ton of questions. You don't have to go to this chat groups or to the store for a month trying to annoy the salesperson. But like some of the important things that Jeff said, just like, it doesn't take long. It gives you better information. And then you vet the right product. For example, once you wear a product and it's like really good for you, you're also doing your friends and loved ones a favor, because now they don't have to go through all of that confusion because you were the one who asked the right question. And it doesn't take much. Now, okay, so, you know, I love herbal stuff. I love mushrooms. At Kokora, are you guys, what's the future like? Are you guys thinking of, you know, before that, I have another question. So this is one thing that I get asked too often, which is, what's the best delivery mechanism? Is it, you know, in a powder form, it's in a pill form, or is it, you know, double alcohol extracted liquid or a tonic, or what do you think?
I'm going to answer it in a very different way, because it was actually proposed to me sometime, you know, a long time ago, and I've stuck with it. Whatever method that you will consistently use is the best method for you. If you are someone that doesn't mind mixing your powders with a smoothie or yogurt or applesauce or oatmeal or pudding or whatever, or juice, that's the best way for you. If you're a tincture person, which I'm not, if you're a tincture person, you don't mind doing the drops under the tongue and doing it that way, that's the best way. I love that we utilize a freeze-dry process that brings all the richness of the best of the best. And because they're already very pure and very clean, we're not having to separate out a lot of chemicals that a lot of people have to do. They have to do extra steps to take some of the bad stuff out of the way. But I mean, I use powders, I use capsules, I have some things I take in tablet form. But I think that it really does come down to, and this was the words of a very wise person that told me this. She said, the things that you will do every day are the best way for you to get the most out of them. So if you'll go a walk every day rather than go to the gym, then that's the best exercise for you. If you will go to bed an hour early every night, and that's something you do every day, then that's the best sleep for you. You know, if you will sit down and eat a really good solid meal and turn everything off and focus on your eating, then that's the healthiest way for you. But with supplements, I think it's whatever you will consistently do religiously on a regular basis, that's the best way. Because you could be taking something, let's say that in an herbal form, that a tincture is of that herb is the best of the best. But if you only do it for a couple of days and the bottle ends up in a cabinet somewhere, was that the best delivery system for you? No, because you didn't do it where you might have taken a capsule, a powder, or a tablet every single day, where you won't take the tinctures on an ongoing basis. And honestly, that's me. I try to do it and it lasts about a week, and I'm back to my tablets, capsules, and powders. So
yeah, I remember when back in the day, a lot of people used to ask me, hey, CJ, what's the best diet that I can follow? Hey, what's the exercise plan that I can follow? I used to tell them the same thing. It's like, whichever one you can do, and you can just, yeah, don't go to do crazy stuff. Like we said in the beginning of the podcast, right? Make sure you get something that is doable for you, which is accessible for you. Like if you have to kind of like wait for 2 to 3 months to get the tincture versus like getting a powder, which is just available, like go for that. You know, mm-hmm. Everything has its own benefit if you do it.
Agreed.
You mentioned steps, like some of the companies have to remove a few things. Can you just visually like walk us through like so the mushrooms are growing or the herbs are growing on the farm? What are the process or what is the steps which you guys take from bringing it to the farm to someone's doorstep, let's say?
I think that some of the things have to do with, it depends on where things come from. If you are in complete control of the chain of ingredients that you're using, like we are, it's grown on our farm, and the mushrooms are grown with a company that we work with that we trust that does everything correctly. That's wonderful. But let's say you're buying ingredients from a raw product salesperson. So let's say you buy turmeric and it comes in a powdered form. You test it for heavy metals. You have to test it for impurities, for chemicals, for things that are in there, bacteria, mold, fungus, water. And then after you test it, you have to maybe put it in a holding room that's climate controlled for maybe 6 months. And then you pull it out again, and then you do the testing again because things that were in there may have liberated into the product while it was sitting there. So you test it again. This could happen two or three times. Already, you're like at a year, year and a half if you're doing your job correctly. And finally, when the product is pure, then you're able to run it. But let's say that there's five ingredients. Let's say you have five different herbs that have all been tested over a year, year and a half. You start combining them into the formula, and then you run them through and you capsulate them or you make a liquid complex or whatever. You can't just send it out that way. Sometimes you have to check and test the end result, the product. Because sometimes when you mix A with B and B with C and C with D, changes happen. So they may be pure over here, but at the end result, are they still pure now because you mix them together? So there's a lot of things that are involved there because you may not be growing anything. You're getting it from someplace on the other side of the world and you don't know their growing conditions, so you have to do heavy testing. And I think that that's really important for people to know because there's some wonderful products that are put out by companies that do it right. And there's good companies that they don't make or grow any of their own things, but they put out great products because they buy from respectful people and respectable people, and they do their testing, they do their homework, and then they test it again before they send it out to the stores. Those are the companies that are doing it right because things may pop up. It may be lead. It could be mercury in the fish that they're using in their omega-3s. They may be buying fish and omega-3 products from people that are fishing in polluted waters. So you have to do your homework, and it really just comes down to being a transparent company in the world where people tend to hide things rather than be open about them. And I think that you have to really ask questions. And deal with companies that are wide open. I've seen so many laboratories for so many different companies, and I'm always so amazingly pleasantly impressed at, we're garbing up, we're wearing shields, we're wearing gloves, we're wearing hazmat suits to be able to go into their laboratories. And to me, it's annoying but very pleasing because I know that the credibility is there. So I think that it comes down to that. It comes down to dealing with companies that are thoughtful, credible, and transparent about what they're doing in their testing and their production.
You said a lot of companies hide something, hide a few things. So let's talk about that. How are companies cutting corners? Like, of course, like as a consumer, we just hear about this, but you being an expert and seeing what happens in the actual industry, what are some of the more shocking things that we can tell people so it really drives the point home where you really have to ask the right questions?
I think the number one is one we spoke about earlier, proprietary blends. Because I think that, it may say, it may look good. It may be 2,000 milligrams in this proprietary blend, but maybe 1,000 milligrams of it is maybe a fiber, which is virtually nothing that doesn't add anything much to the product or anything to the price. But the key words that are in there may be low, low serving sizes of what you're actually getting. To me, that's a huge way for a company to cut corners. And I think that that's not a really good way of doing it. And I also think putting out products that are not vetted correctly, I think is another way that they can cut corners because testing is expensive. And doing double blind and triple blind studies, doing third party studies on your products to make sure they're truly pure and clean, it's expensive. That adds to the price of the product. So when something is super inexpensive, and I don't mean to go to judge it completely, but if something is super, super inexpensive and it's a huge amount of quantity of, let's say, capsules or tablets, and it's got a proprietary blend on it, and I don't really know what's in it, I have to stand back and say, probably not for me, because I don't think I'm going to get the results that I'm looking for. So, sometimes cheap is not better. Sometimes non-transparent products are definitely not better. And sometimes you have to make sure that you're purchasing and using your money wisely and choosing and picking products that fit your budget, but get the best of the best that you can. Because it's kind of like dog food. You can buy very inexpensive dog food, but our dogs are only as healthy as we allow them to be. If you're giving them terrible food that's coming from someplace where there's virtually no quality of nutrition in it, your dogs are not going to live a long, healthy life. They're not going to be vivacious and energetic. They're going to get health problems and bone problems and joint problems and gut problems because you're not putting anything in it. I mean, feeding time at my house for my dogs and even for my horses, my dogs, they get greens, they get coconut oil, they get probiotics, they
Wow.
get fruit, I mean, it takes me longer to feed them than it does to make my own food, but I have peace of mind that I'm doing it right. And when I take my supplements in the morning, I think to myself, I have vetted these supplements and I take them in the afternoon. I take an evening dosage of supplements. I vetted them so I know that there's a good chance that I can get the results that I'm trying to achieve. If I don't feel comfortable with a product and I don't know the transparency and I'm not comfortable with what they're putting out or the corners that they're cutting and the quality of the product that they're using, am I really doing anything good for myself? I don't think so.
Okay, this is interesting. I want to ask you about this. But before I do, I want to establish, like Jeff and me have been speaking about throughout this conversation, is that we're all different. Just because you hear about something that is working for one person doesn't mean it's going to work for you. It might work for you. It will be a different dosage, different synergies, different products. But because you mentioned supplements, I would like you to walk us through. Which supplement do you take morning, afternoon, evening, and just like why? So we can kind of understand like what are you on at the moment?
Well, in my mushroom category, I use lion's mane, I use reishi, I use maitake, I use chaga, cordyceps, and turkey tail. I take the major six mushrooms because I know that individually they're very powerful for things like the brain and the immune system and the skin and the gut. And I know that together, synergistically, they really have a tendency to enhance each other and give you a better quality of division of nutrients. So I take my mushrooms every day. I take six different mushrooms. I think as far as my basics, and I think I recommend this for everyone. Everybody should be looking at a multiple vitamin. Get the best you can. If it's plant-based, that's probably better. Make sure it's as clean as you can get as well. Don't buy it at the drugstore. Go to a health food store where you're getting quality. On top of that, everyone, and I'd say everybody over the age of 20, should be using a digestive enzyme and a probiotic to ensure that everything that you chew, everything that you swallow, your supplements, your medication, your food, you have the availability of getting everything you possibly can out of it. Because most people are walking around with a digestive system that's faulty, and it doesn't have the great capability, or we have personally destroyed it with our stress and our unhealthy living and our terrible food. On top of that, I recommend vitamin D. I think vitamin D, when I first started, vitamin D was on the bottom shelf. Nobody talked about it. And today it's on the front shelf because they found out how important vitamin D is and how most of us are lacking. Magnesium. Magnesium for so many functions in the body, 200 or 300 functions every day that magnesium does. And we find out that most people around the world are magnesium deficient. Most of us notice it in the area of maybe leg cramps and muscle spasms, but it affects your heart, your brain, your cells, your skin, your gut. So magnesium is definitely there. I think minerals are important, not just calcium. but maybe a blended combination that brings the molybdenum and the zinc and the natural iron if it's needed, and magnesium and calcium and potassium and selenium and all these minerals that are rich from the soil that we used to get just from eating a vegetable that we don't get anymore because most of the soils are denatured. Another reason for regenerative agriculture. So that's something that I think is really, really important. And then something green. You know, most people today, when I ask them what was the last thing they had green, and they'll say, well, I had a piece of iceberg lettuce on my burger. And I'm just like, okay, that's not going to cut it. You know, yeah. So a greens powder that loaded with nutrients that you can throw in your smoothie every day, your body loves it. And it just enhances everything in the body, including your blood, as well as your gut and your cells. So those are the things that I try to focus on. You know, I do have my antioxidants. I love pycnogenol and grapeseed extract and resveratrol. I take extra vitamin C and vitamin E. I definitely take fish oils from fish, a very potent formula, and I think that's important. I think, and as far as herbs, I am a huge proponent of quality ashwagandha and turmeric. I take bacopa with my lion's mane for the brain. I take holy basil because it's great for stress and nerves. So yeah, I have a full counter in my kitchen. I admit it. I just find that it makes a difference. You know, I'm not a kid, you know, so it's more important today than it was when I was starting when I was 20. You know, I'm in my mid 60s now. So you got to look at things a little bit different because you're not just, we're holding on now. We want to hold on a lot longer, and we want to be able to, we need more nutrients, and we need nutrients in a form that an older body or a body that's run down has the capability of absorbing. Mm-hmm. So it's really important.
Yeah. Absorption is the key. You could keep on like eating boatloads of food and, you know, the wrong supplements, but if you don't absorb it, like, for example, you said magnesium is involved in like 200 to 300 of the processes and the enzymatic processes. One of the most critical things that magnesium does is actually it allows for vitamin D to be absorbed. So if you don't have enough magnesium, no matter how much vitamin D you're taking, it's not going to be absorbed. And for magnesium and vitamin D and some of these other things to be absorbed and for your body to just do an average job of, you know, navigating through life properly, you need your minerals, because guess what? The soil is depleted, and no matter how much you eat, it's not going to work, and it's not going to be working. And with nature, everything comes in the right ratio. But most of the things, because it's depleted, the ratios have been gone off. And like, yeah, of course, you can like, you know, supplement with a little bit of magnesium, a little bit of something else. But like you said, selenium, obsidian, like all of these other things that are there in like a complete multi-mineral mix, I think that's like the foundation that is where everyone should be starting. Okay,
great.
This is super interesting. You know, Jeff, we could be talking for hours and hours, but I want to be mindful of your time because I'm so grateful. Everyone, it's like when we started an hour ago, it was 3 a.m. where Jeff is, and now it's 4 a.m. And yeah, I want to let you go to sleep. Tell me, here's my last question to you. If you could go back in time, you have so much experience, you have seen so many things, you could go back in time and you could give yourself one or two pieces of advice. It could be about anything. What would you tell your younger self?
To prioritize my health because it's important and necessary. To make sure and be mindful of the foods that I'm eating and swallowing, and make sure that I'm consistent with the good things that I'm doing, and that I learn very young to be able to celebrate and separate work and downtime, prioritize my work-life relationship with myself, and make sure that I'm able to decompress and rebuild and do all those things, and not just wait till like I was in my 40s and my 50s to start to do that, but do it when I was in my 20s so that it has become a very substantial routine where I learn how to shut things off and prioritize me, because they say you can't pour water from an empty pitcher. And if you don't take the time to recharge and refill that pitcher, you're not only no good to yourself, but you're no good to anyone else. And never feel guilty about saying no if it makes your life better and allows you to be healthier for it.
Thank you. Those are pieces of golden wisdom. Thank you so much, Jeff, especially the second part of it, because I think now a lot of people, I see this change that a lot of the younger generation, I mean, I'm super young as well, but I see like Gen Zs, all of these guys are having a different perspective on life where they are looking at health, they're prioritizing health, they're looking at supplements. So they are much aware than like a generation which was probably drinking too much or smoking too much. But the second part of your message, where you need to draw a clear line and realize that, hey, listen, here are things where I need to hold back. I need to not get stressed. I need to make sure I celebrate, because people push it too far off, and that can result into, you know, different kind of like mental health, emotional health issues. And like you mentioned the word self-induced. So if you can self-induce it, you can also self-heal it. It all starts with better awareness and just listening to someone who is ahead of you in life, just like yourself. Jeff, this has been fascinating. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for all the work you've been doing. You know, decades of information, decades of seeing the world. I'm so glad I could learn from you today. I really appreciate you. Where can people learn more about you? Like, if people look at this, like, what are the website? What are the links?
The easiest way to find me is just to go to my webpage. It's Dr. Jeffrey Burke. It's just Dr. Jeffrey, JeffreyBurke.com. When you're there, there's lots of information about me there. But if you tap on my blue, looks like this, my Honest Health logo, it'll take you to Spotify and you can actually listen to my podcast. Or you can tap on the logo for YouTube and you can watch the interviews that I'm doing on there as well. And, you know, take the time to listen and then, you know, subscribe and like and all that fun stuff. I think that's really important because it really just gives us more exposure and allows us to really do more than what we do. My email address is there as well. You can reach out to me anytime. I answer questions from all over the world. And if you take the time to send a question, I'm going to take the time to answer it. And like I said, I've got some of the most amazing guests in the industry that are there to share messages. I just opened up my podcast to professional athletes and entertainers and people in the know. So there's going to be some really fun people on there as well. I think everybody has a message to share and all of us have a message to gain. So I want to make sure that I have a platform where you can walk away and say, you know, that was really enjoyable. Oh, and I learned a couple of great things too. That's what we want.
That's it. We're going to put all the links down and, you know, to your podcast, your YouTube channel. So everyone, when this episode will be released, you can look at it at the show notes. Jeff, I won't keep you any longer. Thank you so much for joining me today. This was a real pleasure.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah, thank you. It was a good time. And this is me, CJ, your host, your friend, your guide in this way of life. Signing out of the Shift with CJ podcast. Every day, everyone have a great day, a great week. Have a great lifetime. Remember the words Jeff said. Take care. I'll see you in the next episode. Your time and presence with us through this podcast is highly appreciated. If you want to learn more, then head over to our website, www.shiftwithcj.com.